It took a lot of nudging. I thought I had all the answers already. A sore throwing arm didn't necessarily mean the end of my career, but I was beginning to wonder whether I could continue to play in pain until the day my body just gave out. But was that any kind of real solution? Looking back, I wasn't in enough pain to realize I needed to change what I was doing. Finally, when Willie said to me, "Dude, you can't practice. You can't even move your elbow." I said okay and booked a session with Alex the next time he was in town. Alex grew up in California and studied traditional Chinese medicine in college. Since 1996, he'd been working at his rehabilitation facility in Los Angeles, where he worked with a wide range of athletes across all sports. He came east for 6 days every month to work with Willie and other players, and on one of those trips, the two of us met up at Willie's house. In those days, nobody was doing anything close to what Alex was doing. Sports medicine and athletic performance went hand in hand, but were segmented, with a strength trainer doing one thing, a position coach doing another thing, and a massage therapist doing something else entirely. Alex, on the other hand, had spent his life and career studying and combining Eastern and Western perspectives and creating a holistic mind-body approach to sports performance and well-being. His commitment to his clients was obvious. If I got hurt, it hurt Alex to see me hurt. The recovery he and I later engineered following my ACL injury really cemented our relationship, and over time we developed a set of principles that have become the foundation of my performance training. When we met, Alex immediately began zeroing in on my tendonitis by using targeted, deep force muscle work in a way no one ever had before. Mind you, I had been getting massage, cold treatments, hot treatments, ultrasound, electrostimulation treatments, ART, chiropractic work, stretching, and everything else in between for more than 15 years from various athletic training staffs. The first treatment with Alex began my understanding of what pliability was. Explaining that my elbow tendon was inflamed, Alex spent the next hour lengthening and softening the muscles surrounding my elbow joint, as well as icing only my inflamed elbow tendon, using a mixture of instinct, know-how, and experience. As he continued lengthening and softening my muscles, the pain and tension in my elbow slowly dissipated. Why? Because by lengthening and softening my biceps, my triceps, and the muscles of my forearm that were tugging on my tendon, Alex was removing the tension from that tendon. My tendon no longer had to work so hard to stabilize my elbow joint. My muscles could now work in a more relaxed, optimal state. If I kept on with this form of treatment during the upcoming season, Alex promised that my tendonitis would continue to improve. It made so much sense to me. I began to wonder why this wouldn't be true for all the muscles in my body. By removing tension from all of my joints, by lengthening and softening all of my muscles, my whole body would function in a more optimal way and would be better able to disperse the forces I faced on and off the field. 24 hours later, after another treatment, I could feel the difference in my elbow. 48 hours later, after two more treatments, the improvement in my elbow was even more noticeable. Over the next 2 weeks, as I kept working with Alex in a methodical way that soon became a routine, the pain and soreness in my elbow and shoulder was better by half. Anybody who was in tune with his or her body and had experienced the intensity of pain I had in my elbow and shoulder year after year and felt the pain go from a 10 max down to a 5 moderate after only a few treatments would have told you the same thing. Alex's goal was to eliminate the pain completely. Until that point, I hadn't really realized how accustomed I'd gotten to my body hurting as much as it did, or how I just accepted pain and soreness as part of the job of playing sports. Playing football for a living was like getting into a car crash every Sunday, a scheduled car crash, and I began developing a whole new understanding of what I was putting my body through every week and the amounts of trauma my body was experiencing. I also started seeing Alex less as a body coach and more as a body engineer, someone who's able to determine the optimal balance between the stresses and loads placed on my body. In my case, Alex was in the business of designing, building, and maintaining my sustained peak performance in the most holistic way possible. The following year, once I modified my training program to incorporate more of the targeted deep force work of lengthening and softening my muscles, Alex told me I'd gotten to a point where I might never have any elbow or shoulder problems again. And I haven't to this day.
Chapter 2, What I Now Believe. I spent the 2004 and 2005 seasons working with Alex. That is to say, we worked infrequently, 2 days every other week, as Alex was continuing to treat his other clients. That schedule worked for me back then, since I had more natural pliability and could get through a couple of weeks without seeing him, versus today, when he and I do pliability training 4 days a week. Together, we created the strongest foundation of what we had started calling pliability, the daily lengthening and softening of the muscles in my shoulder and elbow, and as time went on, all the other muscles in my body, too, through targeted deep force muscle work. Think of a deep, rigorous massage, but much more focused. And in my case, using complex techniques based on an understanding of the biomechanics of what it takes for me to throw a football and function at peak levels as an athlete, who accelerates, decelerates, runs, cuts, and more, as well as the daily acts of living that complement my off-field life. The concept of pliability treatment as a key component of my training regimen didn't arrive in 1 day or 1 week. It has been an ongoing evolution. In effect, I had replaced injury and rehab with pliability and prehab. I began to take preventative measures against being in pain or getting hurt, rather than waiting to get hurt before I did something about it. Pliability treatment, as I later saw it, wasn't just a way of re-educating my body to understand that it could sustain impact while my muscles remained long, soft, and primed. Most important, it was a primary defense system against the cycle of injury and rehab that every athlete fears or experiences personally. I also knew that when the 2005 NFL season got underway, my shoulder and my elbow stayed pain-free. The more I threw, the better I felt. And I was absorbing hits a lot better as well. Why were Alex and I the only people who knew about this and were using it? I knew I had never seen it used in any locker room or training room I'd ever been in. Until 2005, I never questioned the age-old strengthening and conditioning model, basically lifting weights and sprinting. I never asked why coaches prescribed one shoulder exercise over another, or why I had to rest my arm for 24 or 48 hours after a game, or why weight training improved my on-field performance. Most athletic programs are built on that model, so why should I challenge it? For all I knew, the coaches and trainers were the experts. It didn't occur to me, either, that something might be missing from that model. Strengthening and conditioning work. I'm not saying they don't. But if you asked coaches or trainers to explain why they work, few of them could give you a consistent answer, though they would all probably agree that it increased performance. It is just what athletes have always done. It wasn't until I started working with Alex that I began thinking about the subject in a new way. Over the course of the following few seasons, everything changed for me, including a lot of my own entrenched belief systems. This is where discipline is important. As I say, I still believed in the importance of muscle strengthening and conditioning. We all need to focus on that daily or weekly. Athletes especially need it. But as I thought about creating a regimen that would lower the incidence and risk of injury over the long term and ensure sustained peak performance, I knew pliability treatment was the missing leg of the traditional model of strengthening and conditioning, and that it needed to be incorporated at every level. In fact, the more I committed to what I'm now calling the TB12 method, the better my on-field and off-field results have been. Why doesn't everyone know about this? I kept asking Alex. The answer was that there was no education around it. Years and years of conversations with Alex ultimately led to the creation of our TB12 Sports Therapy Center in Foxborough, Massachusetts in September 2013, our first location, and the focused holistic regimen known as the TB12 method, which for the past dozen years has transformed the way I train, work out, play football, eat, hydrate, supplement, recover, rest, manage my health, and live my life. The TB12 method, which is geared toward a single purpose, achieving sustained peak performance, is my life, and I'm so happy to be sharing it with you. Let me take you back a few years, though. I had an MVP-type year in 2007. The Patriots went 16-0, and we won the AFC Championship, though we lost the Super Bowl to the New York Giants. But in September 2008, I injured my knee. Players do whatever they can to steer clear of contact injuries, but that one I couldn't have avoided. It happened during the Patriots' season opener against the Kansas City Chiefs, on the second drive, 14 plays into the game. On the 15th play, I dropped back, intending to throw the ball deep. I took a stride into my throw, and a defensive back on the ground lunged to tackle me. His helmet made contact with my left knee. My knee met with more force than it could absorb and disperse. The collision ended up shredding my ACL and MCL and causing multiple bruises and a lot of swelling. An ACL tear is a common football injury and a tough injury for any athlete. Mine was a direct hit. My surgeon, Neil Elatrosh, who gave me the best possible care, told me I needed surgery, followed by anywhere from 9 to 12 months of rehab and recovery, in order for me to feel back to normal. On top of that, after the surgery, I developed an infection in my knee that made my rehab even more of an uphill battle. It was a tough, challenging point of my career. Based on my injury and infection, I faced long odds of getting back to being the player that I was. My ACL surgery and staph infection made it a challenging October, but Alex oversaw my rehab and recovery as well as my routine check-ins with Dr. Elatrosh and the Patriots training staff. Many hospital surgeons and physical therapists have protocols they believe anyone recovering from ACL surgery should follow. No matter how old you are, how much you weigh, or what your level of athletic ability is, the procedures are really pretty similar. This is what we want you to do during week one. This is what we want you to do during week two. And so on. But Alex and I decided to complement what the doctors and trainers were telling us with our own methodology. Before long, we were doing more than was recommended, plugging suggestions from, say, week six into week four, and seeing how well my body felt and responded. More important, we resumed practicing the movements I make on the football field. Those things I was rehabbing for, dropping back, handing the ball off, play-action passing, and throwing on the run. Mentally, it felt good to be back and preparing. Physically, it felt good to begin practicing what I would need to work on once the season started. When you get injured, who is ultimately responsible for your return to full strength? The doctor? The trainer? The sport? The answer is none of the above. No, in the end, it's your body and your life. How you take care of yourself and maintain your health and avoid injury is up to you. To illustrate what happens during an injury, let's look at what happened to me with my ACL. When I took a helmet to the knee, tearing my ACL and MCL, blood and lymph rushed to my injured knee. The muscles surrounding my knee contracted and tightened, creating a kind of natural splint as they tried to stabilize my knee and protect it from pain when I moved it. But they couldn't, as it was already beyond natural repair. At that point, the damage was done. Over the next 7 months, Alex and I focused on pliability to help reduce the discomfort I was feeling. We wanted to get back full muscle pump function, 100% contraction and relaxation, in order to have my muscles support all the actions I was asking them to make as part of my rehab process, which helped reduce the swelling and, in turn, the pain. Through pliability sessions, my brain and body were able to relearn how the muscles surrounding my knee are supposed to work. 8 weeks into my recovery, I was running in the sand. And 6 months later, not 12 months, the discomfort in my knee was gone. I should add that during my recovery, I checked in regularly with Dr. Ella Trosh, who told me my knee was coming along great. That's one of the many things I've learned, and which is now a big part of the TB12 method. We tailor our program to the individual. Yes, there are core principles, like balancing strength and conditioning with pliability, but the ratio, intensity, and types of exercises are customized to the person, depending on his or her age, strength, and fitness, the sports they play, the lifestyle they lead, and other factors, including what their goals are. Since my ACL recovery, 9 years ago, my knee hasn't bothered or limited me a single day. In fact, 2 years ago, I took a hit on my knee during a practice, requiring an MRI. The doctors who read the MRI joked afterward that my knee looked so healthy, they seriously doubted I played professional football. At that point, I'd been playing for almost 25 years. Why was my knee in such good shape? In my view, it was because my muscles, and not my tendons, ligaments, or joints, were handling the forces and stresses placed on my body, just as God intended them to. If muscles are not balanced, loads and stresses go to unintended places, like joints, tendons, or ligaments. And over time, that's not sustainable. The ACL tear was the most intense injury I'd suffered, and is still the only one that's kept me from playing a game. Up until then, I'd played my whole life without getting seriously hurt. For the first time in my life, I found out I could get badly injured. But through that process, I began to ask questions like, what can I do to prevent something like this from happening again? From working with Alex and realizing I wasn't a victim of my injuries, and that I was a very active participant in my own health and wellness, I understood there were some injuries I couldn't avoid. I also understood that the choices I made off the field would help determine whether or not I got hurt, or stayed hurt, as well as the degrees and severities of injuries. In the months during and after my ACL injury and recovery, I began looking at all the lifestyle choices I was making that could affect the way I got injured, and how I could recover. If incorporating pliability was so important, what were some of the other things I could do to extend my peak performance and help me recover faster? I couldn't do everything as described in this book at once. I went forward line by line, precept by precept. I'm hoping you do the same. For as long as I could remember, like most athletes, I ate and drank whatever was in front of me. Pizza, beer, soda, whatever. Now I began exploring the role of hydration. Pliability and hydration go hand in hand, and one can't really exist without the other. What does proper hydration mean? How does hydration affect muscles? How does hydration help keep muscles soft, looking and feeling like pieces of tenderloin instead of beef jerky? And what should my nutrition look like to allow my muscles to maintain that optimal look and feel? Once I began understanding that the things I put inside my body had a direct effect on my performance on and off the field, I took a long look at my diet and the nutritional choices I was making or not making. Hydration and nutrition are the foundation of healthy muscles. And if your muscles aren't healthy, it's that much harder to attain optimal pliability. Ignore either or both, and it will take you longer. Again, not sustainable. Knowing that almost every NFL player took some sort of supplement to support or increase muscle strength, I also got interested in vitamins and supplements. As time went on, and with the goal of continuing to reduce inflammation in my body, Alex and I also began exploring the role of bioenergetic apparel and sleepwear. In January 2017, after spending 2 years researching the best materials, TB12 launched our first bioceramic recovery wear. To me, tech-enabled apparel and sleepwear isn't all that different from virtual reality, meaning that what seemed far-fetched a few years ago will soon become part of the mainstream, contributing to how we do both prehab and rehab. I'm happy to say TB12 is at the forefront of this movement. As I've said, pliability and the TB12 method aren't a replacement for strength training and conditioning. But I've come to believe that strength and conditioning at the expense of pliability is a sure recipe for injury. By incorporating pliability into their daily regimens, athletes at any level will find they have a much higher probability of preventing injury and extending their careers almost indefinitely. Not to mention bettering their performance. Not least, by limiting their risk of injury, pliability increases their ability to practice. In the NFL, there are 100 practices per season. I take part in almost all of them, let's say 90. The average would be 70. If practice makes perfect, this means I have a 20% advantage to improve through practice, and more opportunities to get ahead of the competition. Sometimes I like to think about how amazing the quality of NFL football would be if players managed to avoid injury and stay healthy, not just for 2 years or 5 years, but for 12 years, 15 years, or in my case, 17 years and counting. In pro football, health equals productivity equals durability. If you're a wide receiver who makes 7 catches a game, but who plays only 8 games because of an injury, that works out to 56 catches a year. And that's a below average stat. But if you play 16 games, averaging the same amount of catches, making 112 in total, that turns your season into a Pro Bowl year. The difference? Productivity and durability. If you're playing in the NFL, you've already shown the world how good you are. The question now becomes, how often can your body get out there on the field to prove it? Only by incorporating pliability into your workout can you reach a place where both your brain and body are working toward the goals you've set for yourself. What are your goals? How do you define success in your life? Only you can answer that. I'm positive the TB12 method can support you along the way. Durability also makes for a better game. I have game log after game log of information stored up in my head, based on years of problem solving and pattern recognition. As a quarterback, my ability to adapt to change is crucial. The game never stops evolving, so why should I? By this point in my career, I've seen virtually every situation and scenario that exists. I've always had great coaches and mentors, but experience has trained me too, and the answers to multiple scenarios that come to me on the field show up quickly. The ability to couple experience with a healthy body creates better players, better performances, and a much better game. During a game last season against the Buffalo Bills, with 4 minutes left in the first quarter, I stepped up into the pocket, got past a defensive lineman, and threw the ball to Danny Amendola, our wide receiver, who was running to the right front pylon for a touchdown. It was your basic pitch and catch. But before I even threw the ball, my brain cut to the moment I had made the same play 4 years earlier when we played the New York Jets. I knew what I was going to do because I'd done it before. The difference maker, again, is durability. That's what 17 years of sustaining peak performance feels like for me, physically and mentally. And I love it. Over the years, there's been a misperception in the media that the TB12 method has to be done one particular way, and that unless you reach a secret ninja level, you won't see the benefits. That's not true. The TB12 method can benefit men and women of any age, and any level of fitness or performance or ability. At the TB12 Sports Therapy Center, our body coaches see a wide range of people who are drawn both to the holistic and attitudinal components of what we do. Our mission is to create comprehensive, customized programs for clients that reflect their goals and biomechanics. A lot of athletes come to us because conventional methods haven't worked for them. Some come to train, others are more focused on performance, and still others are trying to recover from injuries. We see professional athletes, elite amateurs, including high school athletes, college students who want to make the team or have their eyes on the pros, weekend warriors, and men and women from 8 to 80 who just want to unlock their own sustained peak performance, whatever that may be, and increase their vitality through all stages of their lives. What we try to create in our clients is genuine change and new patterns of behavior that go beyond simply showing up at the gym a few days a week. Even if you take away only 4 or 5 things from this book, whether it's how to improve your diet or work out smarter, or the half dozen supplements everyone should take, I guarantee you'll start to see huge differences in your life. At the same time, contrary to what the media thinks, I won't always turn down a cheeseburger or an ice cream cone. I just won't have one every night, and I won't have 10 of them either. Last year, my wife and I went to Italy, a country that presents a lot of temptation. Yes, I brought along my electrolytes, as well as my protein, nutritional supplements, and TB12 snacks. I had to be ready to play football 2 weeks later. But in Italy, I definitely ate some things that were not TB12 compliant. My brain and body needed that downtime. Too much of a bad thing is bad for you, but too much of a good thing isn't a good thing either. Personally, as I've said before, we all have different goals. I want to play until my mid-40s, and I realize that requires a focused, disciplined approach. I've always been motivated to target and improve on my deficiencies, and I still am. Coach Belichick says, "You pay the price in advance." And a teammate of mine liked to say that the only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary. The reason I got a chance to play pro football in the first place back in 2001 was that one of my teammates got hurt. I never want to see someone else do my job, which is one reason why I need to stay healthy. Other players are always asking me about the one thing they should do to improve their performance. Well, there isn't any one thing. Sustained peak performance isn't about changing one or two habits in your life. It is your life. It requires commitment. It requires discipline. It requires openness. My career as an NFL quarterback and my life aren't two separate things. Every hour of every day in my life revolves around my job. That includes what I eat, what I drink, when I plan my vacations, my travel destinations, and the training equipment I bring along with me. As a pro quarterback, I train about 4 hours per day, and I'm committed to making every hour of every day count. I've written this book in hopes of educating and inspiring a very different lifestyle for maximizing performance and increasing vitality. My goal is to help all of you discover what sustained peak performance means to you. Chapter 3, The 12 Principles of TB12. The TB12 method isn't just a training regimen. I see it as a holistic lifestyle. It's built upon truths and principles that underpin what we do every day at the TB12 Sports Therapy Center in Foxborough. But before diving in deeper, I want to summarize these principles since they make up the foundation of what we at TB12 believe is the optimal approach to exercise, training, and living a life of vitality. Any one of these principles can be taken alone, of course, but also understand that their effect is cumulative. So the more you can incorporate, the better your results will be. We don't view the body as an assortment of parts. It's a connected system that functions as a whole, and you should treat it that way. By practicing and living all 12 of these principles, you'll begin to see great benefits. The 12 Principles of TB12. 1. Pliability is the missing leg of performance training, and the most underutilized and least understood. Everything begins with pliability, the daily lengthening and softening of muscles before and after physical activity. Without pliable muscles, you can't achieve long-term health. Every athlete needs to find a balance between strength, conditioning, and pliability. The balance will change based on what your age, sports, needs, and goals are. 2. Holistic and integrative training. nothing works in isolation. Everything we do at TB12 is interdependent, and we believe that a holistic approach works better than a divided one. The body is one system. Treat it well. It is the only one you have. 3. Balance and moderation in all things. We subscribe to the precept of balance and moderation in all things. Too much of a good thing isn't a good thing. Too many bad things are just plain bad. 4. Conditioning for endurance and vitality. Conditioning is about having the energy, endurance, and vitality to perform the activities you love in a healthy, pain-free way. Good health is about how you feel. We've been educated around how we look, but feeling better, that's the key. 5. No-load strength training. Muscles aren't for strength or for show. Their function is to protect your bone structure and to support the acts of daily living. You should train to develop the optimal strength to do the job your body needs to do, while limiting the load, especially the overload, you put on your joints. Make your muscles work every day and load them appropriately for what you're asking of them in your daily life. 6. Promote anti-inflammatory responses in the body. Anything that reduces inflammation in our bodies, including hydration and nutrition, maximizes pliability and accelerates recovery. Try to avoid self-inflammation, whether it's in your mind, body, or spirit. 7. Promote oxygen-rich blood flow. The blood that flows to your brain is the same blood that flows to your feet, and everywhere in between. The more ways you can foster the circulation of oxygen-rich blood and 100% muscle pump function, full contraction and relaxation, in every part of your body, the better. Oxygen-rich blood rejuvenates and regenerates, leading to optimal health. 8. Proper hydration. Drinking enough water every day, preferably with electrolytes, is essential for muscle pliability and optimal health. 9. Healthy nutrition. No training or exercise program is effective unless complemented by proper nutrition. You can't train or recover well when you deprive your body and muscles of the right nutrients. What you put in your body is often what you will get out of your body. 10. Supplementation. Healthy nutrition is amplified by the right vitamins, nutrients, and minerals, based on your current diet, age, and activity levels. 11. Brain exercises. Neuroplasticity is all about generating and regenerating neural connections, which happens only when we train our brains the same way we do our muscles. 12. Brain rest, recentering, and recovery. The body and the brain need recentering, rest, and recovery via sleep, meditation, or other balancing techniques that encourage the right mindset, and recovery innovations such as tech-enabled sleepwear. Here and in the chapters ahead, I'll go into each of these 12 principles in more detail. They form the foundation of performance, productivity, and durability. Pliability is the missing leg of performance training, and the most underutilized and least understood. Most athletes grow up learning to lift weights and run wind sprints in order to accomplish their athletic goals in their off-season training. It's simply part of their coaches' and trainers' belief system. And it works, too, to a degree. But I believe the traditional strength and conditioning model also leads to countless injuries, rehabs, and careers cut short. Consider that the average career in the NFL is 3.3 years. The average in pro baseball is 5.6 years. In the NHL, it's 5.5 years. and in the NBA, it's 4.8 years. Even outside elite athletics, our bodies begin a general decline beginning in our mid to late 20s. But by incorporating pliability into your strength and conditioning regimen, it doesn't have to be that way. Of course, you'll still get older, but with pliability, you're less likely to age poorly or in a compromised state. My goal is to teach people to maintain a prime physical state for as long as they can commit to the core TB12 principles I mentioned earlier. Bottom line, you can't sustain peak performance solely through strength and conditioning. You can perform well, often great, for a short period of time, but you won't be able to sustain it. Ask yourself what it might mean to not get hurt, or not be in pain, or at least to begin creating a stronger, more effective body immune system to counteract pain and injury. Nobody plans for a 2-year career, after all. That's where pliability plays a major role. By rhythmically contracting and relaxing your muscles in a lengthened, softened state through pliability sessions, you make connections between the brain and the body, which is known as neural priming. Why is that important? Because the body begins to associate muscle function and movement with long, soft, primed muscle contractions. One of the critical keys is doing pliability treatments both before and after your full workout or physical activity. Think of pliability as the new warm-up and cool-down. This is the essence of the brain-muscle connection, creating the right neural priming, muscle memory, and conditioning that enable your muscles to work in ways that lower the risk of injury during physical activity. Contrast this to an athlete who does daily weightlifting with no pliability. The only way he can absorb force is by making his muscles tight, dense, and stiff. Those muscles can't disperse force appropriately for two reasons. First, they're already contracted, which means they don't have the ability to absorb any extra stress. And second, they're working alone, rather than as a part of a whole muscle group that's integrated into a system of muscle groups. What will happen when an athlete with tight, dense, stiff muscles goes out onto the field and tries to make a tackle, or runs and makes a sharp cut? If these functions overload a muscle, bone, tendon, or ligament, he will get injured. In fact, I believe his muscles, which aren't pliable, are more likely to be overloaded through negative trauma, meaning trauma that's unintended and beyond his control, and injuries. Later, he'll blame the injury on weak muscles. He may think he didn't work out long enough. But I believe that's wrong. By continuing to lift weights, he's telling his brain, and therefore his body, that his muscles should remain tight, dense, and stiff. Unfortunately, tight, dense, and stiff is the enemy of pliability and will increase his risk of injury even more. As I said, the goal of pliability is to re-educate your brain-body connection, which continually sends messages to your muscles to stay long, soft, and primed, no matter how you're asking your body to perform. When an athlete needs to contract and relax his muscles, they're ready to fire appropriately as they do the jobs he's asking them to do. As an NFL quarterback, I can't predict when I'll sustain trauma from a hit or a tackle. But I've trained my muscles to stay pliable as I stand in the pocket. The moment another player's helmet makes contact with my body, my muscles are pliable enough to absorb what's happening instantly. My brain is thinking only, lengthen and soften and disperse, before my body absorbs and disperses the impact evenly, and I hit the ground. In this way, it is difficult for any one part of my body to get overloaded, as many muscles are acting to support the forces placed on it. That's the key. Holistic and integrative training. At TB12, we believe that everything we do with regard to our bodies is interconnected and interdependent. Just as you can't do strength training without conditioning, you also need to find the right balance between strength, conditioning, and pliability, depending on your sport or activity, and the intensity with which you do it. It also depends on your age and physical condition. The older you are, the more you need to incorporate pliability, and commit to it too, as younger athletes have a hefty supply of pliability that starts to dissipate with age. There are great benefits to strength and conditioning. You need a baseline of both to do the job you are trying to do. More important is how you do it functionally and whether you do it alongside pliability. Holistic means only that your health and performance are integrated. You need to consider every detail of your exercise and training regimen and reduce or cut out the things that negatively affect your pliability. Time is an asset for us all, which is why adapting a holistic, integrative approach to your exercise and workout routine is so important. Between strength, conditioning, and pliability, at my age, I spend roughly one half of my time on pliability sessions. Many athletes spend no time on pliability, and a few might spend only a few minutes. I believe that at a minimum, most younger people should dedicate 20% of their workouts to pliability. As you get older, and depending on what sport you engage in, for example, contact versus non-contact, you'll need to increase the percentage of pliability in your workout. Why do golfers today experience more back pain than they did in past decades? Why do baseball pitchers today need Tommy John surgery on a regular basis? Too much overload and not enough muscle pliability. One keyword of the TB12 method is balance. All season long, football players work hard to improve their weightlifting, sprinting, jumping, and agility. Many often gain recognition for their efforts, but their bodies can possibly be out of balance. Working too hard at one thing, even if you work harder than anyone else, may not lead to improved performance, especially if you have imbalances. Most likely, it just means you're getting better at that one thing. Each of us needs to figure out the meaning of balance in our lives, based on our innate strengths and weaknesses, and on external factors too. At TB12, balance is as much about creating the right mixture of strength, conditioning, and pliability as it is about lifestyle choices, what we eat, how much rest and recovery we get, and what daily activities we engage in. The more balanced we are, the better. In my experience, most athletes like to work on things that they're already good at. It reinforces their confidence in their own abilities. Strong athletes like to work on strength, and fast athletes like to work on speed. But that doesn't create balance. To create balance, we need to work on our deficiencies as well. Conditioning for endurance and vitality. Why do we work out, and what does good health really mean? If you're like most people, you measure your health based on what a scale says, or on your blood pressure, or cholesterol, or BMI levels, or how you look in the mirror. Maybe you've even had your body fat measured. You probably also assess other people's health using those same criteria. I define good health and being healthy as vitality, and feeling it. That means I have the energy to do the things I want to do and love to do. Play professional football, work out, ski, surf, play basketball, play soccer in the yard with my kids, interact with my teammates, focus on my game plan in the team meeting room. It also means doing all those activities without pain and with energy, enthusiasm, passion, and endurance. The bottom line is that the conditioning and endurance that clients do at TB12 helps create the energy and vitality they need to do the things they want to do. Exercise, working out, and engaging in physical activities are all parts of a joyful life. No-load strength training. Strength training allows you to do your job well, whatever that job is, and helps your muscles contract appropriately for the daily acts of living you ask of them. But the emphasis on more weight, greater reps, and longer workouts wears down our body's natural pliability and creates tight, dense, stiff muscles that aren't appropriate for the jobs we ask them to do, or for our daily acts of living. Quarterbacks, pitchers, and golfers are all what are known as rotational athletes. That means they need to rotate their trunks or arms as they do their jobs. If rotational athletes do only linear workouts, such as running and lifting weights, they're confusing their bodies. They need their muscles to be long, soft, and primed, which allow those muscles to rotate efficiently as they do their jobs. This can't happen if their muscles are tight, dense, and stiff. At TB12, about 90% of the time, clients work out with resistance bands. Most are surprised to find that resistance bands work their bodies functionally better than weights do in terms of elasticity, resistance, versatility, and efficiency. Bands also allow for a bigger, more fluid range of motion and build strength and power without overloading muscles or creating excess inflammation. By targeting, accelerating, and decelerating muscle groups at the same time without putting stress on your joints, bands can also mirror your body's normal, everyday movements. A lot of people work out with resistance bands or do water aerobics or practice Tai Chi. Not many young people do these things. They've grown up believing that good health is synonymous with big muscles. But despite what the culture markets to us, the goal of strength training isn't bulking up. It's training your muscles to work appropriately for the job you're asking them to do, or how you're asking them to support your movements throughout the day, without creating undue risk of injury. Promote anti-inflammatory responses in the body. Chronic inflammation is the enemy of pliability. Chronically inflamed muscles are working in a suboptimal state and are more resistant to lengthening and softening. That's why pliability and nutrition work together to decrease the amount of chronic inflammation in our bodies. Why would a body be chronically inflamed? Simple. Dehydration, poor nutrition, poor recovery, and tight, dense, stiff muscles. Some degree of chronic inflammation is inevitable as we get older. But to gain optimal pliability and promote faster recovery, consider adopting lifestyle changes that combat inflammation. They include proper hydration, a nutritional regimen made up of real food, preferably organic, and adopting methods that reduce stress, recenter the brain, and accelerate recovery. Promote oxygen-rich blood flow. Few things can survive on this planet without oxygen. Why are our bodies and muscles as oxygenated as they are when we're young? Because younger muscles expand and contract at 100%, what we call 100% muscle pump function, and haven't yet sustained many negative traumas, such as falls, collisions, injuries, or overloads. As we get older and experience years of muscle contractions and negative traumas through just plain living, our muscles get stiffer, shorter, and more dense, limiting full muscle pump function, which in turn limits oxygenation. That's one reason why, as we age, we don't recover as quickly. Athletes often say, "I'm not young anymore." Why? Because they don't have pliability. Pliability helps us achieve a state of 100% muscle pump function. This allows full oxygenation in every muscle of our body, helping us reach a state of optimal health and vitality. In contrast, over time, tight, dense, stiff, dehydrated muscles lose their optimal pliability, and therefore their optimal oxygenation. Without full oxygenation, muscles begin to degenerate. That's why athletes say they're not young anymore. As I said, we are all born with optimal pliability. We had to work on strength and conditioning. Which came first? Pliability. We need to be pliable first. Proper hydration. Most of us aren't close to being properly hydrated. Hydration, in fact, is one of the easiest, most important things we can all do right now to enhance our pliability. Drinking enough water helps our bodies maintain good metabolism and digestion, lubricates our joints, and keeps oxygen and nutrients circulating to our muscles. Even more than nutrition, proper hydration is essential to maintaining healthy, pliable muscles. At the TB12 Sports Therapy Center, we recommend that everyone, even non-athletes, consume at least one half of their body weight in ounces of water every day. At 225 pounds, that means I should be drinking 112 ounces a day minimum. If it's an especially active day, I'll drink anywhere from 200 to 300 ounces of water. Sometimes I think I'm the most hydrated person in the world. Healthy nutrition. Eating poorly undoes many of the benefits you get from exercising and risks endangering healthy muscles. The more nutrient-dense food you eat, the better your body can generate energy. By adopting the proper nutritional regimen, you create a healthy inner environment that allows your body to thrive. From my perspective, eating well means eating mostly plant-based whole foods, foods rich in fiber and essential fatty acids. No processed or fast foods, sugars, or fats. Minimal amounts of caffeine and alcohol. In the same way pliability complements and completes the traditional strength and conditioning model, nutrient-rich food allows our cells to absorb what they need. Find what works best for you. Supplementation. It would be great if everyone had the benefits of a mostly plant-based real food nutritional regimen. But that often doesn't happen because of our busy lives. That's where supplements come in. At TB12, we define the word supplement literally, as an add-on or supplementation to the foods we eat. The right supplements can't take the place of proper nutrition, but they can help ensure that you get the daily vitamins, minerals, and nutrients your body may be lacking. Through intense workouts and a lot of running and throwing, I push my body to its limits. Since 2000, I have used supplements as a way to help my body work hard and recover quickly. Along with electrolytes and trace mineral drops, every day I take a multivitamin, vitamin D, vitamin B complex, an antioxidant, essential fish oils, protein powder, and a probiotic. I'll talk about supplementation more in a later chapter. Brain exercises. In the past, brain exercises were reserved mostly for people with brain injuries, or those facing diseases like early onset dementia or Alzheimer's. But the research we at TB12 have done reminds us that the brain is an organ that we need to exercise in the same way we train our bodies. To my mind, I need to get ahead and stay ahead of brain injuries, especially in the off-season, and I try to keep my brain as healthy as possible by ensuring it gets the right amount of cognitive exercise, along with proper hydration and the right nutrients. TB12 brain exercises are based on what we now know about neuroplasticity, or the brain's ability to keep changing and learning over a lifetime. The exercises I do increase the amount of sensory information my brain takes in and improve my ability to process and store that information. They improve my fast recognition abilities, narrow my focus, and increase my pattern recognition. Brain rest, recentering, and recovery. No real peak performance training can take place in our bodies unless we do it in conjunction with our brains. Our brains are our control centers. We can exercise our brains to create greater neuroplasticity and generate new neural connections. Another way to keep our brains as healthy as possible is to ensure they get the right amount of exercise through cognitive training. Creating a healthy inner environment through hydration and nutrition isn't enough. Does it matter what you eat if your mindset is negative or angry, or you have poor self-esteem? At TB12, we encourage clients to focus on the right mindset, and also to make the time to reflect and recenter. So many people have written books on how to achieve the right state of mind, and I have read many of them. I am an optimistic person who chooses to focus on things that bring me joy. More important than formal meditation is developing a positive mindset that allows you to achieve everything you want to achieve. One of the simplest things anyone can do is create a regular routine for sleep. My general discipline and pattern is to sleep from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., which gives me 9 hours of uninterrupted therapy and regeneration. I also want to make sure my body remains in a state of recovery even at night. I do this by wearing bioceramic-infused functional apparel and sleepwear. The advantages? It increases energy, promotes recovery, and improves performance. If my opponents aren't wearing what I wear, I'm getting the edge on them even when I'm sleeping. Chapter 4. Pliability. A deeper dive. The missing leg. At the core of the TB12 method is our belief that injury prevention and wellness through prehab is achievable and necessary for athletes and active individuals. If injuries occur, we believe that there are faster, better, and more sustainable ways to recover than traditional rehab. The key is in complementing traditional strength and conditioning training with muscle pliability. Pliable muscles are softer, longer, and more resilient. They help insulate the body against injury and accelerate post-injury recovery. With conventional training, rehabilitation is a necessary evil. Conventional training focuses on traditional strengthening and conditioning exercises. While this can help achieve performance goals, it is usually short-term oriented and inevitably incorporates rehabilitation as a necessary evil. Traditional rehab, in turn, leads directly back to strengthening and conditioning, often without fixing the underlying problem. This can create a vicious cycle of strengthening, conditioning, and rehabilitation, a cycle in which rehab treats the symptoms, but not the causes. You may feel better, but you don't get and stay better. Improved muscle pliability transforms vicious cycle into virtuous circle. Proper prehab and whole body wellness can significantly lower the risk of injury and enable sustained peak performance. Our methods complement strengthening and conditioning with a critical missing leg of athletic preparation, pliability. Pliable muscles are long, soft, and capable of full muscle pump function. They improve strength and promote circulation of blood and lymph to facilitate healing. By improving pliability through deep force muscle work and further promoting it through hydration and nutrition, together with the right strengthening and conditioning, our program helps break the vicious cycle of injury and creates a virtuous cycle of sustained peak performance. It goes without saying that all athletes want to achieve their goals. In my experience, most athletes are great at following the system or disciplines that are in place, and often do not question rules and directions. A lot of the time, that's a great approach for athletes. But sometimes, if that system or discipline is misguided or incomplete, it limits the ultimate potential of those athletes. Unfortunately, bad systems are often built on earlier bad systems, and athletes are often trained within those systems. Believe me, I've seen it. But our health is our responsibility. This is especially true for younger athletes. Not knowing any better, and why should they? They buy into the system and discipline of strength and conditioning over and over again. That isn't a bad thing, necessarily. The problem is that they rarely give any thought to why the system exists, or what exactly they're being disciplined around. If the strength coach says, do 50 reps, you do 50 reps. If the trainer says 6 laps around the field, you start running. Which brick wall do you want me to run through now, coach? You do what you're told, and the positive feedback and affirmation you get keep you following the pack. After all, if you challenge the system or ask why you're doing that press or lifting that load, you risk getting sidelined or kicked off the team. Why am I bench pressing 400 pounds? You may wonder. Or why am I lifting weights 3 times a week? But you keep those questions